Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And Jules Gill.
Hi.
Hi. Now, we watched a bunch of stuff last night. It was opening night live. It was the new-ish show from Jeff Keighley. He started doing something before Gamescom every year. So I thought we'd do a roundup of the biggest titles, the biggest announcements that came from that. And I also, we put out a tweet and we sort of retweeted it a bit and got some different thoughts on that from people. And I've got a separate batch of questions that we can get to after we've talked about the show. So I'm just going to break down the biggest stuff from the show itself. I think the biggest announcement was Fall Guys Season 2 in terms of just...
In terms of how, like,
popular... It's like your hierarchy here. Fall Guys!
I go back and forward on Fall Guys a lot. I think it's an immaculate first 20 minutes, and that 20 minutes got me to, like, level 35 out of 40, and I've had a lovely time with it. But then I keep losing at Seesaw, and I think I hate it. So there is that. But in terms of, like, sheer popularity, that game is just a whirlwind at the minute.
I'm actually quite worried about it, to be honest, because it's like, don't you find that this is quite early on to be having a season two already? Like, it seems like they've only managed to get it out, and I'm actually more worried than ever that the Fall Guys bubble is about to burst. In fact, I'm writing an editorial on such a thing, so stay tuned for that.
No, I think considering how popular it's been, it does kind of need to keep up with the pace of it, and like having something out so fast is going with the flow of what everything's going on. Maybe they'll slow it down in future, or that sort of thing, but like to have it so fast now, everybody is playing it so much, that to have all the people that have maxed out their 40s, that have like done their battle passes or whatever, that like whatever it is for Fallout Guys! Thinking about Fallout Boy.
If there's the time, they'll do a Fallout Guys.
Yeah. Honestly, it's Fallout Boy that's driving
that. With Fallout Boy, yeah.
But yeah, no, that they've done all that, and they're moving so fast to going, yes, season two's here, here's new stuff, here's exciting things that you can still get on top of if you've like managed to get everything else. I think it's nice to have that momentum behind it and kind of keep on pushing the Fall Guys ball, so or bubble, as you put it, so that it continues to roll and not pop. Like, I think that that's a good way of doing it.
Some of the stuff that they showed, there was like one of the new modes is like you've all got to work together to put like platforms in place, and then you
can, like, that
I like
cool.
the idea of that, just because I think it'll go to absolute hell.
Although I noticed that it wasn't a team game, so people are just going to get absolutely royally screwed. In fact, royally is definitely the theme of this, because it's a medieval theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got another one where you can move siege platforms to jump through the hoops. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm more than excited to play more Fall Guys, or Fallout Guys, as it were. But I'm just... I don't know. I feel like it's maybe
it's tiring,
too soon. It's constantly like churning out stuff. I worry that they might be overextending themselves.
They're
still having server issues.
Yeah, they're very much on it with their like social media presence and the amount of branding deals that they've had. There's so much stuff that's come their way that I think I think they probably bumped up the announcement of season two. Like, they always knew they were going to do one. The game has a countdown for the end of season one. But like, yeah, their time is now. They've sold like 7 million copies on Steam. It's the most downloaded PS Plus game. Like, they might as well. Just like
capitalize on it, baby. Yeah, that's like, what I say.
This is going to be some people's retirement plan, so it's like they might as well.
Did anyone else, like, when the guy who was there, like, hi, I'm the lead producer, lead designer on this, did anyone just be like, I've literally been in those halls at uni. Where is this guy operating out of? Like, is he actually just a university student?
Maybe. Well, at a Mediatonic on, they're a fairly big studio.
I was shocked by how young he was. I was like, fair play to that guy, the team, all of those people for creating this game. If they're all around the same age, they're going to be able to retire literally after season two.
Well, they apparently were just watching like Takeshi's Castle or Total Wipeout or something, and they were like, we should just do that. And then they did.
Yeah.
And then, other than Doritos Crash Course, no one else has got in there.
So I had a long discussion with our boss about Doritos Crash Course the other day.
Of course you did. So, what, to do your own Doritos Crash Course?
No. It was just the fact that Doritos, they were looking to do an ad with us. So we were just basically like...
Don't tell me!
It never went anywhere. But I'm just saying, like, that's what we could have done.
Chili Heat Wave, mate. We could have been in.
Exactly. Cool Ranch, brother.
Ash, what's your favourite Dorito of choice?
Oh, you know, I like a lightly salted Dorito.
Who are you?
I like a heat wave when I'm feeling spicy, but you know, I like a standard salted crisp is my favourite crisp. So with a nice dip.
Vanilla's the best ice cream.
Person, like so over the top in so many other areas, and a lightly salted crisp is your.
I'm on the inside.
fair enough. Let's get through some stuff because we have so much to talk about. But anyway, next big game is Medal of Honor: Above and Beyond. But this will be quite quick because I think it's stimming some excitement. The fact that it's an Oculus exclusive, so you'll have to log in on your Facebook account to play it. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's not gonna, you know, it'll not be on PSVR or whatever. It might come across later on. But it looked pretty good. I don't know what you guys think of the Medal of Honor franchise, but it's been a long time.
Absolutely love the Medal of Honor franchise. The PS1 and Medal of Honor 1 and 2 were like my most played games as a kid. Right. I absolutely adored it. Then it went horrendously downhill with their warfighter thing, whatever it was that they were, the reboot that they did. I'm really happy to see this return. However, it's facing incredibly stiff competition from a quite shallow market because the only thing that people are going to immediately compare it to is Half-Life Alyx. And that game has really revolutionized how VR combat, exploration, puzzle solving has been done and because it's Valve's fingerprints all over it.
I think that is only on the Vive, though.
It is true, yeah, but it's at the same time, it's like people are going to instantly compare this to that, and I don't know, that there was a few ropey animations that I was like, ooh, that might look quite bad in first person, but the shooting, though, actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think they do flipping knives around as well.
Yeah, like, it all looks incredible. I think it looks like a great VR game and a great experience and that sort of thing, but there's something that sits a bit weird with me about being in like a war simulator for VR that's kind of like making it look really fun and like all that sort of thing. I don't know, but which I get is just video games in general, so obviously that's nothing to like complain about, but it's just being in first person, like being a soldier. I don't know. I think I find that really weird.
I think it's the current climate is just sort of like, oh, why would I volunteer for this now? Like, it's just, if it was the 2000s and things were easier, then maybe I'd be up for a more violent escapist thrill. But at the minute, I just want to go have a VR experience of sitting in a field of flowers and stroking.
Yeah, I want to stroke like a nice pet or like, you know, run through the meadows. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I want from my VR experiences.
Meadow simulator, untitled meadow game. I would take that. Yes, Doom Eternal rather got its first story expansion. It's focused on the Elder Gods and reviving these sort of giant titans. And there's not that much that was shown off other than just there's some more Doom, and I absolutely love Doom. I did want to mention, though, did you guys both play through Eternal? I think you both did.
Yep, yeah. I have been without a PS4 since the beginning of this thing, so I've not had any chance to play it at all, and I am gutted.
Jules, that's your Christmas treat to yourself. You've got to deliver yourself that game.
Got to get it.
There's one giant mech thing in Doom Eternal that you look at the whole game through. It's sitting in your home base and you never use it. And I have to assume that you're going to pilot a giant planet-sized mech. Otherwise,
you have to hope. One can only hope. I don't know. I think this looks, honestly, all they could have done is just put Doom Eternal more and I'd have been invested. Like, the whole trailer was great, beautiful, exciting. I was enthralled. But, like, they didn't need to show me anything because I'd be down for it straight away anyway. Yeah. Like, having that, like, deep voice going over, being like, ooh, spooky man saying spooky things, seeing the Doom Slayer, seeing the big, like, demons lifting him up on platforms. I was like, yes!
Doom, like, yeah, probably have the same sort of effect. But I mean, the way that story ends, Big Mr. Guy, is the way that story ends is kind of weird. It feels a little bit anticlimactic. So I'm assuming that whatever happens at the end of the DLC, you'll feel a bit more final. Dragon Age got a big old update. They showed some in-game stuff, but it's obviously in development. Jules sucks air through his teeth. He does. What do you think?
I think, right. Actually, no, I'm going to let Ash say how much she loves this before I'm going to crap all over it.
Oh no! You're gonna crap all over it.
No, I'm not crapping over what their intentions are. But my question to you is very simple. So, what's new? Like, literally, all they did was just wheel out every single platitude.
It was very generic.
Empty, like, yeah. it was like a corporate head had designed that thing, because it's like, inspirational quote, here's a thing that you can do, choices, have consequences.
I'm an art director in a forest.
And it's like, I create bosses. It's like, oh, and these bosses are good. It's like, what? We know this because that is what a fantasy action RPG does. What are you doing that is new? It's like, oh, we're telling the story where not everyone's going to join you. No one ever joins you. No one ever believes you apart from your small band. Mass Effect was entirely about small bands of people trying to win people over. You've done this story before.
Leave them alone.
My thing with Dragon Age is that I've always heard it's amazing. I know you've played quite a lot of it. I have the first Dragon Age. I was way too late to it, and I started and I went, oh, I don't know what this is. I played Inquisition quite a lot, but neither of them have ever grabbed me. And I know that's a massive hole in my portfolio, but apparently
but I have to say, for the record, I've played every single one of them and I love every single one. I just was like, okay, this isn't showing me anything new. Mm. I feel like they could have just gone like, here's some 3 seconds of beta footage, actually showed me more of what the game is rather than what they were telling me it was going to be.
Again, right. Like Doom Eternal, they could have just said Dragon Age is coming. I'd be like, yes, thank you for this gift. Like, seeing them all so excited about it, seeing BioWare being like, this is what we're doing, this is what we like having a little, you know, little pictures, little concept arts of people in the water with knives and fish being around and stuff. Like, there's all sorts of good stuff in there that was just nice to see that they're moving on with it. Nice that it's still at the forefront of what they're doing. Nice that it's still being talked about and continue to be excited for.
They're all employees, you know, like, it's nice that Anthem hasn't killed them, because there was that one thing about when they put the teaser out for Dragon Age, they did that against, was it EA's whims or whatever? They just went and did it to be like, hey, we've got a future, guys. Like, just...
There was a heavy emphasis on, like, chances, more like second chances this time around. But
it's a weird feeling.
I'm really excited for it, don't get me wrong, but it's just a case of, like, I feel more than ever that there was a bit of a grasp from EA or the people above just being like, say the line, Bart. That was all I...
It did remind me a lot of when they first showed off Mass Effect Andromeda, and like, we're obviously so early in development for Dragon Age, and they've already swapped out a couple of creative directors. I love when they cut to that guy, and it was like an old school Family Guy, like in season 2 when Peter does his campaign video, and it just cut to him all these random locations, and just Dragon Age man was just walking through a forest, like delivering what he's talking about. Then the art director with her portfolio in the middle of a different forest.
I liked that they were doing their thing. I want to feel positive about Dragon Age after, like, you know, the sins of the
Understandable.
Past. I want to feel good about it. And I felt like that was very much like a, we feel good about it. And like, please trust us. But like, I do, I think it'll be good. And seeing the woman just under a bridge popped me. That she was just
So where else can we put people? Like, we've done the forest, we've done the halls, let's put someone under a bridge.
Imagine throwing the short straw on that. It's just kind of like, right, I want to go shoot man out. Sorry, he's already taken the forest. Oh, can we do it? It's like you've either got the car park behind the Audi or you've got under a bridge.
Just do some stylish, put some, was it that Gaussian blur on it? Just blur the hell out of the car. Yeah. Anyway, the last big game footage or gameplay footage was the Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart thing, which they said that it's coming in the launch window of PS5, but that isn't going to be this year. I've never heard a company refer to a launch window that extends out of the month period that it's in. So I guess they're passing Q1 2021 as the launch window. That's mostly more of the same in terms of what they already showed for Ratchet and Clank. But where are you guys on the franchise? I think it looks cool.
I'm Ash in this scenario where they could have just shown me Ratchet and Clank and it'd be fine. In fact, if we combined like all of our loves together and it was just static PNG images of what logo of games came out, we would have been done and dusted within a minute and we'd have been so happy with all of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I absolutely loved it. I thought that it looked so slick, so incredibly tight. I feel like it's the same experience that we've done before, especially when you're looking at the starting weapons, for example. But I did find that there was a lot to love. The amount of fidelity in all of the boxes exploding the platform. I'm just like, we haven't had, thinking about it, a platform of this ilk for quite some time. So I'm
this
really
is the last Ratchet and Clank, really, which is still an immaculate game. That game got dragged so much because it came out alongside a terrible movie. But that game is great. Like, if you want a Ratchet and Clank fix, the 2016 one is awesome.
OG Ratchet and Clank all the way.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'm excited for this new one. I think it felt very similar to like the trailer we've already seen, like the hopping through the dimensions and stuff. But I think just seeing it again, another slicer. This is here. We're excited for it. Like, I'm happy. I'm more than happy. I think it looks beautiful. I'm so excited to see how they kind of blur all of these different worlds with a lack of load time to be able to like fly through stuff and land on a flying creature, but then jump on a rail. Like, ooh, video games. This is really exciting.
All the stuff with the SSD, like the idea of they've built it from the ground up. They knew what technology they were working with from the beginning. So it's like, okay, we made a game that can just take advantage of no load times. Like, I really want to just see more of that in motion. Like, how much can you really get away with? Like, can you load an entire game's disc worth of content and then just fly through it like crazy? Like, maybe. So I'll go into some other sort of questions and stuff, mostly still revolving around the opening night live. And this one from ScottyBoy292, it isn't me, with the announcement of The Sims Star Wars crossover and Bridge Builder, the Walking Dead Bridge Builder game.
Hell yeah.
What the hell was that? And what other insane crossovers would you like to see? That Walking Dead thing, what was that? Actually, I'll also throw in, because Greg submitted this as well. How annoying was the Surgeon Simulator / Doc Brown bait and switch BS? Man. I just like to see Christopher Lloyd for that, but what was all of that?
It was just like wheeling out the old man just to like get a pop, and it was like, yeah, I did. Like, I was really happy to see him, but then he had nothing to do with it, and I was like, oh, come on. And actually, for some reason, Surgeon Simulator 2 looks worse somehow than the first game. But I think that it's mainly because of the fact they're giving people more control over the environment. You can actually move around rather than being fixed into one location sort of thing.
Transport your lungs.
But that Walking Dead Bridge Simulator, absolute hot garbage.
So excited to see what that is and like just how it works. Just, yes, building bridges for...
That's not like a thing. Right.
No. There is that bridge building game, and I can't remember what the name escapes me now, but it actually is... I don't know what it is, but it's like an isometric one where you got to get like stuff across.
That is just called Bridge Constructor, I think.
That's probably what the name is. That actually looks amazing fun, and I've spoken to Rich and Osley about it, and they say that it's actually brilliant fun. I can't see how building bridges, a very time-consuming and arduous experience, would ever cross paths with The Walking Dead.
No.
Like, those are two franchises that you could not have predicted to go together, surely.
Well, I mean, you're going to be quite stressed if all the bridges are destroyed if you're in the Walking Dead world.
But you don't have months to repair them.
So you're going to have to build one on a timely notice without making too much noise. Like, that's what it's going to be. Quietly, quickly, build your bridges, run away from the zombies, make a different bridge.
To be fair, because the question was, what are the insane crossovers? I can't think of anything that would even be close to the ludicrously randomness of...
I already got my insane crossover years ago. They crossed over Dynasty Warriors with Pokemon. Pokemon Conquest. It was fantastic. So I've already got what I want. So nothing else.
Hannibal in Surgeon Simulator 2, where there's just an option to be like, after you've done the surgery, you can do your own dinner
just
afterwards.
Feast simulator. My mind just randomly went to Untitled Goose Game in Smash Brothers. I just want to see just the goose. I just want to play as the goose.
The goose would win.
The goose would win, and I don't want... He needs to be a full-on controllable thing, not a random support character like Shovel Knight was, because that's still dumb, Nintendo, and it sucks. Next question from Mateus Grimm and Nick Carolee, I'm going to go with. What were we all hoping to see? They said they were hoping for the Mass Effect Trilogy remaster reveal. Love you all, stay safe. Also, Jacob Wright mentioned that too and said, do you think they'll announce the Mass Effect remaster this week? So this thing, the Mass Effect remaster news, originally came from Jeff Grubb, who works for VentureBeat, and who put out a list of stuff and said the remaster with double S, a remaster would be coming in October. So assumedly that is happening for October. Where are you guys on that? That was my big thing too. I thought they would drop that.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Ash, please
I'd like to see it. I'd very much like to see it. I'd like to see it happen. And like, I, as soon as it's official, I'll be all over it. But yeah, I'd like to have seen something on that. I think that would have been good. And since they had like a little like BioWare showcase thing, it would have been nice for them to go, oh, and one more thing. That would have been really good. But I think celebrating the good stuff that they've done before by having a remaster of that trilogy is just a great idea, and having it come around again so more people can enjoy it, because there's so many people that I recommend Mass Effect to who maybe aren't like big into games or didn't play it when it first came around and struggle to get into it because it feels a little bit older than some of the new stuff that they've been playing. So to have it as like the remastered, brand new and shiny, ready for everyone to get into, I just think it'll appeal to more people and be like, have a new audience to it. And yeah. Mass Effect deserves the world. I'm getting all like emotional. I'm like stumbling through. I'm like, please.
Like, how long has it been since like Mass Effect was on top of the world? Because Mass Effect 3 was, I mean, it's divisive, but like Mass Effect 2 is still one of the best games of all time. And like,
it is.
Recommend Mass Effect a lot, but like, you don't have an easy point to. Like, you can say, like, oh, well, it's backwards compatible if you happen to have an Xbox One, but other than that, it's not available, and it should be. It's one of, if not the best sci-fi franchise in gaming history.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And especially if they can bring over in the HD trilogy, the multiplayer from Mass Effect 3, I'd be so happy for that, because that was incredibly underrated. Really,
true. I think, I wonder, because I think if they do, I have to assume that it'll be on Switch and stuff as well, but I want like the way the Mafia remaster is going, or the Saints Row 3 one where it's completely overhauled. I would hope that they do something like that across all three. So wider questions, we've got a whole bunch of questions submitted. One nice little question from Steve: how are we all doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Jules, how are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Pretty good, actually, yeah.
Not too bad, you, Scott? To be honest, yeah. Yeah, not too bad. I sort of rediscovered outdoor restaurants the other day and sort of went and ate a lot of food, and it was good. Felt mildly terrified, but...
It is quite scary, isn't it, to go outside again and just be like, ooh, I'm going to go into this pub now.
You know what's really good, though? Garlic bread. I haven't had really good garlic bread in a long time. But it's really good.
The cheapest supermarket, like, garlic bread is the best garlic bread you can have, I think.
Oh, mate.
59p from the freezer section. The best one.
I don't know about that, but I would say restaurant garlic bread for my my top shout. Don't risk your life getting some garlic bread. Or maybe do. Next question, though, from Jack Griffiths. Are you worried or concerned that we still haven't seen any game running on the Xbox Series X yet? Also, Dale Brown sort of chimed in later talking about the same subject matter and said that their entire backlog is their launch library running at peak performance. That is a weird quandary, which is sort of doing the rounds on Twitter at the minute, that we're so close to launch, we still don't know the price or the release date. And we also haven't seen anything running on Series X. Where are you guys on that sort of general rollout of the consoles? Because I saw Kotaku yesterday run with, why don't we just delay the entire generation?
Well, if you've got like a video game, if they were doing this and you were seeing just next to nothing and it was getting close to the release date and no review copies or anything like that were being sent out, you'd immediately peg this as being a bit of a stinker. Mm-hmm. However, I have to admit that Microsoft, although they've dropped the ball occasionally, they have been very, very good with their consoles in terms of support and making sure that they actually are very competitive with others. So I'm not that worried, to be honest. Like, just because I haven't seen it run on the new Xbox doesn't mean that it's... I'm looking at the PS4 stuff and just going, okay, fine, it'll just be that. Like, there's no reason for me to believe that it will not look, if anything, as good, if not better than that. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm not that worried.
The general thing of, like, what if they... Because it seems like... Because Ryan McCaffrey has tweeted saying, like, look, Microsoft are putting all their next-gen eggs in the Halo basket, and obviously that's been delayed till next year. The Halo eggs. Until sometime next year, probably for the 20th anniversary, it'll be the end of next year. And obviously on the PS5 side, they've got Astrobot and, like, Miles Morales, and then obviously Ratchet & Clank's coming within a couple of months or so. So, like, on the Xbox side, they literally don't have anything, which is...
Well, they did say, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago, that this wasn't a war to be won with exclusives, or at least they wanted to see people move away from exclusives, which is ironic considering you don't have any exclusives to move away from. But
yeah, it's a weird play.
I think I don't know. I have faith in that they know what they're doing, but I think they have so much more to offer than, like, this is so weird, but like, they have so much more to offer than the next gen games, which obviously is what everyone's going to buy it for and want to be invested in. So that sounds like a really dumb thing to say, but I mean, their backwards compatibility, that they're kind of prioritizing Xbox One being able to shift over to the new gen and everything like that, I feel like that they are reinforcing an Xbox lifestyle rather than buy this for all the new stuff. And along the way, that means that stuff is taking longer or not coming out straight away and all that sort of thing. And like, it's a weird move. I agree, it's a really weird move. And I think that we should have more on it and at least price points and stuff so people can prepare for it and all that sort of thing. But, you know, they've got stuff under their wings that's ready to come out. The eggs are there. The eggs are here.
Table's there somewhere.
Yeah, they're just little eggs, and they're more designed for like family consumption than game egg.
It's definitely like a tech thing. It's like when you get a new phone, you don't expect like a specific thing to run on that phone. It'll just do everything better. That's kind of what they're steering into. Next question from Nick, who says, Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad have announced cooperative narratives. How do you think that will affect the capability to create emotional/effective stories whilst balancing the co-op aspect, which can break all immersion? Are co-op stories something you welcome or are concerned about? I hate this stuff, and I always think it breaks everything. So yeah, I don't want co-op narratives whatsoever. I'm never going to play them.
I feel like you saw Jules's joy then, and was like, actually, no.
I was reading like one half of the screen, and he's just, yeah, little thumbs up, I love it, I'll co-op friend. And I was like,
mate, I'm so down for both the Suicide Squad and Arkham Knight stuff, but I'm just, I'm so excited.
I will matchmake with someone and it'll be fun, but I think the wider sort of conversation, like, can you do a serious story-based game in co-op? Because all it takes is for someone to jump at the wrong time or do some pirouettes during an emotional moment or whatever. Is that even doable?
A way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And Brother's Tale as well.
Which one's yours?
Brother's Tale. Tale of Brothers.
Oh, Tale of Two Sons. Well, that one you got co-op on Switch later on. That was a single-player game initially. You just control two characters with an analog stick each. A Way Out, I thought only me and Josh Brown liked that game, but I still wouldn't say that was like emotionally heavy. It's a great game, but
sorry, you don't think it was emotionally heavy?
You can't say that Way Out is like up there with like The Last of Us. Like,
I was devastated at the end. I was like, how dare you? How dare you do this to me?
I think it's a brilliantly made game, and I think that thing for, like, because you can play it online, but it's way better if you do it local co-op and play it with someone that you know. And hopefully, I play it with my wife, and we just went through that whole game, the way that story plays out, just going like, oh, I didn't realize you thought this way.
I played it with my dad and then played it like as the other character with my boyfriend, and both of them I was like, oh, what are these choices you're making? This is surely the right thing to do. And then having like wars on the piano with the guitar so you can get the most points on them.
Yeah, and you can play Connect Four as well.
And like, I know that the emotional heft gets lost when you're just having like who can balance on the wheelchair the longest in the hospital like for 2 hours instead of playing the game. Mm-hmm. But, and I know that it's such a specific instance. A Way Out is like designed to be this co-op experience.
It's true though. That is a really good example though. Like his question was emotional/effective stories, which I jumped to the zenith of that. Like, can you get a Last of Us co-op? And I don't know, but like A Way Out is a hell of a step in that direction.
Yeah, I would love to see more like A Way Out, and I'd love more co-op stories that you can do online and couch co-op, like Man of Medan as well. Like, I don't think that was emotionally effective, and like there was issues with Man of Medan, but I think that its heart was there and the things that it had to do and say were really interesting. And like, I'm very excited for the rest of the stuff that's going to come from that. But having like a couch co-op and online option for that as well. Like, I'm happy for them to experiment with it because I want more. I want more. I want to consume it. Like, it's good.
Yes. Another question from Scott Lamont, who said, what legendary games did you come to with high hopes only to be disappointed? He's playing through the first Mass Effect and says he effing hates the Mako. So,
oh, the Mako.
What the hell, mate? You've just...
Leave
it
alone!
Not this again.
It sucks.
Jules, have you not gone back to it, mate? It's really good, mate.
No, I have not gone back to play it because I don't want to. In fact, if the HD trilogy comes out, I might skip Mass Effect 1 and just go straight into 2 and 3.
Do you not want to throw a grenade with the back button? Do you not want to...
No, I don't want to watch him. I don't want to watch him chew toffee with his bum hole either. Because when he runs, he runs really weirdly.
Ash, what's your thoughts on this Mako slander in 2020?
I'm not here for it. Like, no. Grow up. No, I love them. I get why people don't like it. I understand, but also they're wrong. Like, it's fine. It's a nice little car. Yes, it's difficult. That's half the fun of space travel is getting over the weird cars we have in the future.
It's very true. It doesn't make any sense that anyone would make it out alive. Like, they're just getting slammed off every mountainside. But it's a good time. And next question from the Nether Noose, who says, what's been your favorite indie game experience? And they're loving various indie horrors and how experimental the indie genre has become in the horror space. I don't know if you have a shout you were going to say there, Jules. I have many indies to throw out.
Is Streets of Rage 4 considered indie?
Not massively, because I guess they had a pretty big budget, but the way it came together though, like, yeah, they didn't sort of seek any like...
I'm trying to think of what games I've actually played that have been like indie games this year.
Well, I went slightly mad after the Nintendo Direct and got everything that was shown in that indie showcase. So I got Raji, which is a really cool like throwback to old, like PS2 God of War. Yeah. Takeshi and Hiroshi is this gorgeous game about these two brothers making games for each other. It's awesome.
Creature in the Well. It's like a
Jules Gill story.
It's an RPG roguelike with pinball elements. It's utterly amazing.
It's so like, weird. I couldn't get the feel of that game, but I'm not one of those pinball lads. Like, pinball fans are like mad for pinball.
I wasn't either. I didn't think that it was going to be my cup of tea. But when I was like playing through it, I was there like, oh, okay, so I can move my character around, do all of this like crazy stuff, and I'm hitting projectiles back like pinballs to try and like hit into other things. Mm-hmm. Mad. Absolutely mad.
My most recent one that I kind of went back to was Limbo, and I loved that. I was like, that was such good fun. Like, I didn't realize how much fun I was going to have playing it, because like I've played bits of it and been like, oh yeah, I'll come back to that someday, and then kind of just kind of linked it all together in one sitting and had like a massive go on Limbo and was like, man, this is great. And
Limbo
so
and Inside
spooky.
Are both lovely.
Yeah, like, they're incredible. And I like, I don't know if Carrion would really count as like an indie one.
Yeah, that
it's so good though. That game, isn't it?
But it's really good. It's really
why
good.
Why is that
it's
game really not got a map?
That's again half the fun of being lost as a monster.
No.
Or is it half of the dread?
No, because you're meant to be you're an alien creature with no understanding of where you are. The whole point is that you don't understand how maps and stuff.
Yeah, so I do like that justification, but it's just in any Metroidvania, I want to know where the hell I'm going, because you can ping the world and be like, oh, it's over there. But then over there is because you're on a grid, can be like somewhere in that direction.
I got lost for literally an hour trying to find one last. I wanted to go and get my last piece of DNA, and it took me an hour to find it, because I kept going in a circle and going, oh, but it must be this way, and going down the same hole going, but it must be
I had that exact experience, and I was like, I'm wasting my life. Like, I'm wasting my time on this earth trying to find this stupid switch. But I love the idea of it.
I got one more quick indie recommendation that I've been playing recently. It's called Bullets Per Minute, or BPM. It's a roguelike first-person shooter where you can only shoot, reload, and jump or dodge on the beat of the music tracks, much like Crypt of the Necrodancer. Mm. But it moves at the speed of like a Quake 1 game. It is so quick. It is absolutely brutal. But I found myself just going like, oh, this is a fun little gimmick. 3 hours pass. I'm still on level 1. How is this bad?
I could never get out of the opening area in Crypt of the Necrodancer. Like, as someone who like plays an instrument and likes to think that they know how music works, I could not play that game. I just wanted to move outside the beat every time. I just couldn't get it down. I don't know if you guys have both played much of Necrodancer, but
I had the exact same problem, and it took me months before I finally clicked and I was still like, oh right.
I guess you need to stick with it more.
Guitar Hero, just put that on instead. I want music, dancey stuff. I'll get my guitar out. That's what it is. Still living large on Guitar Hero.
Oh, man, actually, if for an indie thing, the thing that I've just been living on is Spiritfarer, which is
that's supposed to be amazing.
Oh my god, man! Like nowhere near enough people are talking about Spiritfarer. It's like Studio Ghibli's Spirited Away in terms of you're this individual looking after various spirits that are like you sort of the whole story kind of unfolds that you sort of knew them in real life before they became these spirits in this like crossover afterlife that you're all in. Mm-hmm. So you build this ship and you're slowly like adding like a kitchen and all these different guest houses and places for them to stay, because they are spending their last time as sentient beings with you before they pass over to like the great beyond. So you sort of hang out with all these various spirits, like lions, animals, snakes, things like that. Everyone has like a spirit animal that they become in the afterlife, and you just go around having the most loveliest time with them, hugging them, making sure they're well fed, going on their little stories, you know, hanging out with them. Maybe one of them has some sort of unfinished business or something before they go over, and then once they're satisfied, they're like, okay, take me to this place called like the Everdoor, which is the end, and you have one final hug. And I was getting a bit teary thinking about how much that game ruins me, because every time you have to say goodbye to someone that you've spent hours and hours and hours with. But it's like Pyre. It's like Pyre meets Spirited Away, with some platforming elements, because you travel on the boat to different spots, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag style, and then do a little mission, do a little thing, platforming gauntlet, whatever. And then you get back on the boat and just hang out, just making lovely recipes. So you can sing to the flowers as well. I adore that game. It's absolutely
like
gorgeous.
Animal Crossing the River Styx.
A lot of it kind of reminded me of what Animal Crossing should have been, not to slander Animal Crossing, but I always think that the newest Animal Crossing especially needed a bit more drive, in terms of like, why do I care about these people other than, hey, they're twee.
And like, you're like, kill all the animals and look after their souls in Animal Crossing.
Well, I don't know, like, because Short Hike as well, like that was like what an Animal Crossing story would feel like if they did, like, it's almost like Short Hike is like the prelude to before Animal Crossing starts. All that stuff is absolutely lovely. Everybody please check out Spiritfarer. It's free on Xbox if you have Game Pass. It's a good old time. A final question from Colin Pirier. I'm going to pronounce his name. I think it's probably Piri, but Pirier sounds cool. He said he's going back to Red Dead Redemption 2 and getting surprised by the amount of random events that keep happening. Is there any other games that you go back to and still find new / surprising things? Mine would be Skyrim. I still feel like almost 10 years later, I still haven't seen everything in Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the same with you guys.
It's the same with Fallout New Vegas. I'm running through it at the moment. Admittedly, I'm doing a heavily modded run. But it's there's so many bits and choices that I'm making that are different, that are having different effects on things, and I'm getting new items and being told to go to new places or places that I've been a million times before, but to do different, slightly different things within it. So yeah, fantastic.
Vegas is a shout. Obsidian. Ash, what's your forever game?
Oh man, see, I haven't picked it up in a while, but every time I think about it, every time I read about it, every time I see someone talking about it, I haven't seen all of it. It's The Witcher 3, like, especially with like the DLCs on it and stuff as well. I like played that game to death when it came out and did all the little question marks and stuff. Like, I made sure I saw every single question mark. But like, I just feel like there's still stuff there, like still stuff to see, still different things. Stuff when we do secret videos and all that sort of thing, I'm always like, oh my God, there's more. Maybe, I don't know if I just forget it and then it gets like re-given to me though each time because there's so much. I can only store a certain amount of memory of the game and then it feels new again. But yeah, which is really so like, big and beautiful.
Because when I check my hour count, I was on 620 hours, which that felt about right because 2015 just was that game for me. But apparently when they did like an overhaul patch, when they changed the UI and stuff, it messed with everybody's playtime. So I don't actually know how many hours I put into it, but I'm assuming yours would be like a few hundred as well.
I think so. I can't remember off the top of my head. Like, it's been a little while since I picked it up, but it's one of those ones that always comes back around and I see someone talking about it. I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember this. Maybe I've done that. I don't know, but I need to go again.
I will plug alongside this that we have a Witcher 3 list coming up on, it was like secret quests that everybody missed, put out, you know, bust out the caps lock. They are all those ones in there genuinely were ones that everybody missed. And they're pretty damn good. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments rather of the opening light live and all the various games that are coming out for the rest of the year. Or you can let us know over on the social medias. You can find us over there as well. Because for now, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm going to wrap the podcast up. Somewhere in here is the final message. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
And Jules Gill.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.